Last week we talked about transitions, where we saw how the Spirit of God indeed came upon His people. By the way, by way of reference for the scripture I couldn't find last week, some of you, I did give that scripture, but I'm going to refer to it again this morning. Numbers chapter 11. Just keep your fingers in Acts chapter 2. But in Numbers chapter 11, verses 24 through 29. The point I was making at the end of last week's message was that the Spirit of God fell upon people in the Old Testament for specific purposes. But God's intent and heart all along is that all of us be anointed by the Spirit of God, all of us walk with God, and that all of us know Him. You understand that's God's purpose? It's not just the few in the Old Testament that have that New Testament revelation of grace. You see Moses, who talked to God face to face. You have Abraham, the friend of God. And then you have David. What's the record of David? The man after God's own heart. That's the part of the record I'm referring to. Man after God's own heart. And so what do we see here in the Old Testament? You see Moses. And then you see sin comes into the people of Israel in judgment. Then you see silence. Then you see Jesus come again. Then you see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts that we'll talk about this morning. Numbers chapter 11, verses 24 through 29. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered the 70 men of elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took of the Spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened, when the Spirit rested upon them, that they what? Prophesied, although they never did so again. How many of you think it was not God's plan that the people of God never prophesy again? That wasn't God's plan, was it? But these people never did so again. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. The Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle. They prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Forbid them. Then Moses said, now look at the heart of God expressed through Moses. Are you zealous for my sake? Let's read this whole last line together if you're there. Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them. Moses' heart cry was that of God's heart cry, that the Spirit of God would come out upon and fall upon the people of God. There's something powerful that's accomplished when the Spirit of God moves on and in and through our lives. This morning, let's go to Acts chapter 2. Let's see how this is a heart cry that becomes fulfilled. How many of you like seeing God fulfill the heart cries in Scripture? That heart cry that had happened and move upon the people of God. And this morning's text is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. We're going to take a look at Acts 2, verses 1 through 18. Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with, say it with me, one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were, say it with me, all filled with the Holy Spirit. How many got filled?
All.
No, come on. Don't kid me. You're talking about just the 12 apostles, right? It was only the 12 apostles who experienced this. You're all talking at me like I'm wrong. When the Bible says all, if you look into the Greek, it's a very complex word. It means all. Okay? All. All. Say it with me again. All. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. What did they do? They were radical dudes and dudesses. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Now, There's a whole lot of asides and side tours I could take on this particular journey this morning. I'm going to show you this portion of Scripture, how the Spirit of God fell upon these people, and they did hear them speaking in languages that were languages they knew and understood. The Scriptures talk about languages of and tongues of men and angels. You don't see this duplicated necessarily again throughout the text. You see speaking in tongues as a gift of God that encourages, that edifies, and strengthens the believers. Some will tell you this is only for the sake of evangelization. You build your doctrine, okay, theologically. You build doctrine on what is called the preponderance of Scripture. You build Scripture and builds upon each other, and you lay a framework and a foundation. You don't normally build a whole doctrine on one passage or one section or one verse. So this has a section of Scripture where these people were filled with the Spirit and others heard their languages. To only extrapolate from that, that speaking in tongues is only for the purpose of evangelization, would be error if you want to accurately discern and take your doctrine from the Scripture. Okay, I'm simply saying that by means of, there are some common things that are talked about regarding this gift. Let's see what the Scripture says. All right, these people from every nation under heaven were there. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together. They were confused because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all of these Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." Did you notice all the different backgrounds? We are all one in Christ Jesus. Jesus tears down the walls that divide us. It doesn't matter if you're an Arab, if you're from Iraq or from Iran. It doesn't matter if you're from the United States of America. What matters if you belong to Jesus Christ, you belong to Him and belong to a great family. The body of Christ is a colorblind body. Or at least it should be. Amen? Come on. The body of Christ is a colorblind body. Some of the favorite preachers I've ever heard in my entire life are the black preachers. Oh, they get me excited for the Lord. Oh, yeah. Amen. Oh. Truth, brother. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Love black preaching. And one of our favorite guys that we had out here this last fall was from New York. He's a Jamaican brother. Joseph Danny. We're going to have Joseph Danny back here sometime. Joseph Danny brought forth a word of the Lord and seeded by faith some money right into the purchase of this building where we sit right here today. There are people from all around the world. When you become God's, your culture must bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Now listen carefully. Not even in my notes this morning, but must be an important point somehow. That's what we preachers tell ourselves, right? I'm going on this point. It must be important. Listen, this is crucial. I respect culture. I really enjoy people. I love people. I love finding out about people's backgrounds, about the countries they are from. I love finding out. It doesn't matter. The cultures are fascinating. But I want you to understand something. My culture is, oh gosh, should I say it? My claim to fame is I'm a third cousin of Adam West who played Batman. That's a real good one. My cousin ran around in leotards and a cape. That's good. But I also, you know, a direct descendant from the Prince of Wales. You know what? So what? When it comes to time and eternity and walking with Jesus, my culture must bow the knee to Jesus and to His Word. If you place your culture ahead of what the Scripture is, you've made a God out of your culture instead of God who is the Lord. Okay? I respect your culture. But all of it must bow to this. All right, let's go on. So we have all the excitement of all these people from these backgrounds coming together and hearing the languages of God being spoken. They were all amazed. They were perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They're full of new wine." You know what they're saying, don't you? They're drunk. These guys are snockered. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice. Now notice, who was it that stood up? but Peter. Hadn't he denied the Lord? Hadn't he run when the time was tight? But hadn't the grace of God come back to Peter?
Amen.
You bet. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." How do you think Peter knew that? He knew that by the Spirit of God. Isn't that exciting? This is what was spoken by Joel. Wow! What a powerful moving of the Spirit that happened in Peter's life. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, where do you think we are? That I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. On how much?
All.
I'm sorry. What was that?
All.
Okay. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. If you wonder whether you're young or old, just consider whether you're getting visions or dreams. That's an aside clearly. On my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. There will be a moving of the Spirit of God that will happen upon sons and daughters and people who belong to God. The Spirit of God is not dead. The moving of the Spirit has not passed away. God's alive and well. The Spirit of God is alive. Acts alive. I will show wonders in heaven, etc., etc., etc. Let's take a few looks at some words here. The Greek words for explanation. The word Pentecost, or the Pentecost feast, rather, was one of the most important feast days in the celebration of the life of Israel. Held 50 days after Passover. 50 days. Penta. 50. 50 days after Passover. This is called the Feast of Weeks. It was one of three annual major feasts. The festival of thanksgiving for crops that had been harvested. Now, Jesus was, in essence, and fulfilled the Paschal Lamb. If you go to the Old Testament, you see that they did the Passover. They had a Paschal Lamb that had to be pure and precious that was slain. Jesus was the Paschal Lamb of God who died at Passover time. He ascended how much later after he rose again? 40 days. 40 days after his resurrection. The Holy Spirit then came upon his people in this section of Scripture. How many days after that? 10. 10 more days. So on the day of Pentecost, you have God moving in the natural and in the spiritual. You'll see it throughout history. God does something in natural Israel. God's doing something powerful in the body of Christ. You see the 6 or 7 day war in 1967. What was happening spiritually? The charismatic movement was sweeping the world. It didn't matter what your background was. What mattered is we were saved and baptized in the Spirit and loved God together, and culture bowed, and we just worshiped God together. Remember? Anybody remember?
Yes.
Some of you are looking like, I read about you in the Old Testament. No, it was a powerful thing. And it still is a powerful thing. And we're still being ushered along by the river of God. But I will tell you something. I long to see the Spirit of God moving like a river in us, through us, and in this place today. I long to see not just revival, but habitation. Not just people getting dead and being revived, but people being alive by the Spirit of God and this culture being changed by the river of God that flows. I believe there's got to be another move of God, don't you? Pray. There's got to be something that happens. And there is something that can happen in each of our lives. It's called a fresh filling by the Holy Spirit. Peter's speech was given to an international audience, resulted in a worldwide harvest of people from around the world, the first converts to Christianity. The Feast of Passover was a great time of celebration, good cheer, a day of joy. All right, what else did we see? We made a big deal out of this last week and the week before. They were in one accord. They were all together, no space between them. Little things didn't divide them. They were of one heart and one mind with one purpose, to seek God, see His purpose. Jesus had promised them, if you'll wait until you be endued with power from on high, my spirit will be poured out. He had promised that to them. So they got together, one heart, one mind, hung in there, prayed, sought God, made the major things major, and the minor things got passed away as they waited on God together. Do it, Lord. Do what you're going to do. That's how we all should be praying now, isn't it? Do it, Lord. Move in Port Ludlow. Move in this region. Move on the Olympic Peninsula. Sweep this world with the Spirit of God as the waters cover the sea. Is that your prayer? And suddenly, so they were in one accord. The scripture says, and suddenly, with a suddenness. Only one little comment I want to make about that. Are you ready for God to move on your life suddenly? He does what He does sometimes with a suddenness. It's not time to get ready later. It's not time to be ready for God's moving in your life later. The time is now. You don't know when God might move in your life. You don't know if some of you might drive out of this parking lot today, be hit by a car, and be gone. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to simply say, and suddenly happens in our lives. Let's be ready. All right, there was a sound. The Greek word is echos. Echos, a loud roar. Man, can you imagine these guys? These men and women are seeking God. They're praying. This fantastic prayer meeting. They're earnest. They're not putting any distance between the promises of God and them. They're seeking God. And all of a sudden, a loud roar begins to take place. It's the blowing of the wind of the Spirit of God. This is no private party. This is a loud roaring God coming on the scene saying, it is time. I've waited for all the ages. Joel prophesied a long time ago, but here I come in the Holy Spirit and I'm going to change your lives. Wow. Many are called, but few are chosen. Those who are chosen are those who choose Him. Making a simple point. We have to choose Him, and we have to choose to want to be recipients of His Spirit. Jesus told His disciples to go and wait till you be endued with on power. Do you understand they could have chosen not to? But because they chose Him, and they chose to respond to Him, He moved on their lives with a roar. The rushing mighty wind, the rushing sense of the presence of God. There was a roaring of the Spirit. That's literally what the Greek means. And the word mighty is biaios, biaios, and it means violent. A violent, loud roaring of the Spirit of God. Have you ever been moved in such a way by the Spirit of God that you hit your knees in repentance? Or maybe there's a celebratory joy in your spirit. There's something powerful. Oh God, I want that rushing, mighty, powerful wind of the Spirit in my life. I know I'm not done yet. Change me. Do what you want to do, oh God. Is that how we pray when we come together for church on Sunday morning? God, do what you're going to do. Use me.
Okay, you don't all look like that's your prayer.
Use me, Lord. Or is it, use Pastor Sherry. Wow. We're all moved on by the Spirit of God. A loud, rushing roar of the Spirit. A roaring, violent move of God. That's what the scripture is. That's what the Greek is. The wind is noe. Noe, the breath, the wind. The breath of God, the fresh, mighty, powerful breath of God. The scripture says it filled them. That word is pleroo, pleroo. Do you know what it means that the Spirit of God filled them? It crammed them full of the Spirit of God. He furnished them, he imbued them, he diffused them, he satisfied them, he crammed the Spirit of God into every square inch of their being. Pastor Carl preached a series before, it was about us being skin over God. Isn't that what we're supposed to be? The Spirit of God imbuing us with His presence. Are you excited about that? When you understand that God's inside of you in that way, it does something to your countenance, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Come on. How are you today? I'm happy, thanks. How you doing? Saved by grace. You know what's interesting is people that have overseas in missions, it is commonly understood that the missions and the people who are doing missions that have the touch of God and people being saved and multitudes coming in are those who have had the rushing mighty wind of the Spirit of God, the baptism of the Spirit in their life. There's an unction, there's an anointing, there's a propelling, there's a moving on by the Spirit of God. We have known several missionaries, I'm sure you have as well, people that have come off the fields and talked about people that were terribly discouraged because there was no fruit. In fact, if you read about Graham Truscott, he finally got filled with the Spirit and saw multitudes of fruit. He's had a lot of churches raised up in India and lots of different countries. Anyway, the Spirit of God changes our lives. This literally means God filled up all their empty spaces. How many in this room have any empty spaces you want God to fill? Now, the next word, again, is all. And what does all mean? Thank you very much. Now, what's the result of them receiving the Spirit? Okay, here we go. What's the result? Acts 2, verses 3 and 4. Then there appeared to them, what's the result of this rushing mighty wind? Acts 2, verses 3 and 4. There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Each of them, all filled. This life-changing encounter with God, there was something that happened. The Greek word is glossia. Glossolalia, you've probably heard about, and that's the word in the Greek for speaking in tongues. Glossa is languages. Now listen, the word means, the Greek means, fire came upon them. Baptized in the Spirit, fire came upon them. You know what that literally means in the Greek? Lightning. The lightning, fire of God came upon His people. Interesting. Adam, in the Garden of Eden, was covered with what? Brilliance and glory. When he sinned, he knew he was naked. Do you know why he didn't know he was naked before? He was covered with the brilliance and the glory of the presence of God. Sin stole that glory. Do you know what God's been after from the beginning of the book till now? Restoring the glory of God on His people. Restoring the glory of God and bringing His kingdom on earth and letting the illumination of the presence of God be in our lives. Now you scratch Pastor Carl on some of this. This is what he bleeds. He talks about this stuff all the time. The glory of God. So this is what was happening. The fire, the lightning, the brightness of the Spirit of God Himself. They were baptized in the Spirit. They were shining. They were full of the glory of God. Something happened. Now listen, these 120 in the upper room didn't go running down the streets going, "Hey, look at us. Aren't we shining nice?" But the loud roar of the Spirit of God and the moving of God in their lives all of a sudden began to attract all sorts of other people around them. How many know you can't keep a good man or a good woman down? Filled with the Spirit of God, you can't keep it quiet. You can't keep it quiet. The Spirit sat on each of them. Verse 4, hapas is the Greek word. All of them. Phletho is the word filled, and the breath of the breeze, the blast and the breathing of God came upon all of them. The Spirit of God came upon all of them. One simple question, I'm going to ask it a few times. How did they know the Spirit of God came upon them? You could see it in their countenance, but the Bible tells us you knew that they had received the Spirit of God in this way because they all, what? Spoke in tongues. Now, there aren't a lot of people who talk about this much anymore. I don't know why. It's one of the most wonderful gifts in the body of Christ. Most wonderful gifts in the Scripture. The pneuma, the breath and the blast of God comes upon you, and God brings His presence upon you, so you speak in tongues. Now, let's see. Some people say, "Oh, those tongue speakers, they're just all full of pride, and they put you down, and you're never good enough if you don't speak in tongues." Can I settle that issue right now for you? That's a bunch of hooey. Fooey on the hooey. Had nothing to do with that. In fact, when you get filled with the Spirit of God and you receive that prayer language, it's such a wonderful gift. You're humbled. Yeah, and man, all you do is fall in love with Jesus more. You know, I had somebody, when I got saved, I was saved at 16. People thought I was going through a phase, longest phase of my life. And I remember saying to my sister-in-law, saying, what do you think about speaking in tongues? Oh, it's a bunch of gibberish. You know, don't you know there are people in insane asylums who speak in tongues? Yeah, there's more people in there that don't. You know, people believe all sorts of stuff. And listen, the body of Christ, sometimes we've portrayed it wrong. You're not good if you don't speak in tongues. That doesn't have anything to do with it. What it has to do with is, there are people who do wonderful, powerful works, and people always bring them up. Well, what about Billy Graham? Look at how many people have gotten saved through his ministry. And what if he doesn't speak in tongues? It doesn't matter. Praise God, just think of how much more he could have done. Little joke there. That's a little joke. I think he's led a few more to Christ than I have, okay? Listen, the issue is not you're good or you're bad if you do or if you don't. The issue is, are you hungry for the Spirit of God? He's got something more for you and something more for me. Okay, if I'm walking with the Lord well, but I'm not baptized in the Spirit, the Scripture shows me there's something more. And the how much more argument then comes into play. It's a Jewish argument all through the Scriptures. How much more will my life be effective for the Lord if I receive this gift he gives? Now, we'll show this. Now, okay, let me take one other thing. Okay, are you all hanging in here with me this morning? Okay, people who say, don't you know, tongue speakers, it's all just ecstatic utterance and they're all wild and crazy. You know the section of Scripture? Yeah, we are. Okay, that's a given. We'll just give that, okay? Now, if you go to the section of Scripture, I want to ask you a question. When you look at the section of Scripture we just read, who was wild and crazy? Who especially? The onlookers. They were the ones going crazy. They were the ones perplexed, confused, amazed. They mocked. They said, what are you doing? Who do you think you are? You're a bunch of drunken bums. Isn't that interesting? They were all amazed, verses 12 and 13 of Acts 2. They were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they're full of new wine. The onlookers are the ones. Amazed is to put out of their wits, literally to be driven insane. That's what the Greek means. These guys were being driven insane by what's going on here. They were in doubt, thoroughly nonplussed. They were mocking, throwing out the lip. This can't be God. Listen, I have tried, as I've gotten older, to not be so proud as to look onto something that's a little bit different and unique that I haven't experienced and say it's not God. I don't want to be found putting my hand cursing something that really is a moving by the Spirit. Please hear. When it comes to the Scriptures and when it comes to the moving of God, how many understand God's a lot bigger than we are? And God can do anything he wants. Do you understand that? Listen, there are times of revival. I know that some of you have heard of the Toronto blessing and other things. And we went to a revival meeting how many have ever heard of being slain in the Spirit? Okay, hands are laid upon you. How many have ever received that experience? Okay, and when it's God, and when it's God, man, the Holy Spirit moves on you and over you go. The Scripture is full of it. You can't stand before the presence of God. What I don't like is being shoved. You go up to the Toronto blessing, and there were some people, and the Spirit of God moved on them. They barked like dogs and clucked like chickens, and okay. That's a little bit unique, okay? You start doing that this morning, I'm just going to sit back and watch you. Maybe I'll enter in. Okay. When the Spirit of God does it legitimately, give room. Now,
If all we ever did every Sunday was get together and clucked and barked, we'd be a weird church. We carry some things. Sometimes people carry things to excess, but what I'm trying to continue to make the point on is, if you don't understand it, this has become a dividing issue by some in the body of Christ. But if you don't understand it, please don't harshly conclude, not God, I don't have it, I don't understand it. Take a real soft, tender approach to God and say, okay, Lord, teach me. I'm open. Move in my life. Because what's most important, Jesus, is I'm hungry for you. Hungry, Lord, I'm hungry for you. So move on my life. And then if you have this experience, what you want to do with it is not hold it over people, but share it. Give it away. Help people. Some people have tried for years and years. Okay, I just can't speak in tongues. We develop teams of ministry where people who have tried for years in 10 minutes are speaking in tongues. Just to simply need a little instruction. Maybe there's some repentance issues, some simple things to clear out, and the river flows. But you know what? We're just going to love each other and move in the Spirit of God and help each other receive the most of God we can. Isn't that what we want to do? All right. They were amazed. They were in doubt. The onlookers had trouble. Now, I'm dealing with a number of issues. Pastor Kevin, isn't that very unbecoming if people speak in tongues in church? Nope. They spoke in tongues in church. That was the beginning of the early church. Sometimes people who do not speak in tongues need to be able to see something different than what they've seen before. If all we do is the same thing every other church does, what's different? Why should there be something to be desired? Are you tracking with me? Okay, we should try our best to grow in expressiveness according to the Scriptures. And I'm dealing with this point. Sometimes we say, don't do anything because you're going to offend the guest. You know what? I love you guests and visitors, but I will tell you, here we're going to prioritizing making God happy and hope that we don't offend you. And our desire is never to offend, but if we show you something different, as long as it's scriptural, than what you may have experienced, it's okay, come on up, let's talk about it. We love you. Love us. But what we're going to do our best here is to worship Jesus and to please Him. I'm making a very simple but straightforward point. We're not here to worship the guests and visitors. We're here to worship God. Amen. Now look at each other and smile. You hear my heart? Please hear my heart. We're not here to offend anybody, but you know, gosh, singing a simple song can offend somebody. You know, me wearing jeans and a sport coat, that could offend somebody. I had somebody early on the game said, where's your tie? Hanging up in my closet, got a bunch of them. It was kind of cute, Marilyn. Wasn't it you, Marilyn, the other day? It was the grand opening, and we said something about I wasn't wearing a tie, and she says, yeah, you're wearing jeans and a sport coat. That's what you always wear, Pastor Kevin. Well, anyway, I think it's absolutely fantastic to gather together, to experience the Lord together, and to do our best together to grow in loving and adoring Him. We meet first and foremost for Him. So that will be the conduct of our faith and practice at Door of Grace in our services. And we will do our best to not offend, but we will do our best mostly to worship God and to please Him and then talk afterwards if somebody's offended. Okay? We're not going to shut down the moving of the Spirit. That's very important. Okay? Notice how Peter knew this is that. I love that. Peter standing up with the 11, verses 14 through 18. Raised his voice, we've read the Scriptures, and he said, this is that. The Spirit of God moved on him, and he knew this was a fulfillment of Joel. Now, again, cloven tongues of fire sat upon each of them. They heard speaking in tongues. This particular occasion was tongues others could understand. Now, hang in there with me. I'm going to finish with a couple of other Scriptures to show this point. How does someone know, mostly, when the Spirit of God comes upon you? How do you know that? Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, if you'll turn there.
I want you to see a scripture. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. How many love the presence of God? Me too. Acts 8, 5 through 8. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ. Who was being preached? And multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the what? Okay. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed. So deliverance was happening. Many who were paralyzed and lamed were healed. They were what? How many of you understand the Spirit of God was moving? Come on. There was great joy in that city. Do you believe the Spirit of God was moving? I didn't mean to trap you, but this is really kind of cute. I'll show you something here. Powerful moving of the Spirit. But let's look at what the Scripture says. Go to verse 14. Verse 14 of chapter 8. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they had come down, they prayed for them that they might what? Receive the Holy Spirit. What? I thought the Holy Spirit was already present. Holy Spirit is present. There wouldn't be miracles happening if the Holy Spirit wasn't present. Did you get the Holy Spirit when you believed? No question, absolutely. 100% precious Holy Spirit. You wouldn't be a believer if the Holy Spirit wasn't involved in your life. So we're not saying you got the Spirit or you don't got the Spirit. What's the issue? More. Now, I like Coca-Cola. I can have a half cup that's left, or you can bring me a case. The issue's more. All right. Feeble analogy, though it may be. The Holy Spirit, as of yet, had not fallen on them. They'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, which was powerful. They laid hands on them, and they what? Received the Holy Spirit. Folks, do you see what the Scripture was showing? Miracles, deliverance, healing, great joy in the city, the fruit of the Spirit, but there was something more. All right? Now, let's go a little further. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. The context of Acts chapter 10 is Peter being called on by the Spirit of God to go preach to the Gentiles. And I really will close within 5 minutes. Peter being called on to go preach to the Gentiles. That was a no-no. It really was the Spirit of God speaking to him. But the early church to this point had been a Jewish set of believers. And the Holy Spirit said, Peter, I want you to go preach to these people who are devoted to me and they're waiting on me. Remember, the sheet comes down from heaven. And Peter is called to rise up and eat those animals which he considered unclean. God was trying to speak to his heart and say, I'm going to send you to some people you consider unclean. Remember the whole beginning about cultures? All cultures, God wants them all. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. All right, so let's take a look at Acts 10, 44 through 48. How do you know when the Spirit of God came upon them? While Peter was still speaking these words, 44 through 48, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. How did they know that? Verse 45, those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Folks, how did they know that? Verse 46, for they heard them say it out loud with me, speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter leads them into water baptism from there. God moved sovereignly on these people. Now, the wonderful movement of the Spirit of God is available. We sang all sorts of songs about it this morning. Can I ask you an honest question? How many here in this room want more of God? How many in this room want more of the Spirit of God in their life? There's more. There's a wonderful gift of the Spirit, the result of which is most commonly the gift of speaking in tongues. A wonderful, empowering gift of God's Word and of the Spirit of God. Now, we'd be honored to pray with you to receive that gift if you don't have it. It would be our joy. The Holy Spirit is involved in your life, or you wouldn't even be here this morning. But He says to you, son, daughter, come for the more. I got more for you. It's a wonderful, beautiful gift. Now, we're going to go through Acts Alive. And listen, when Peter was baptized in the Holy Spirit, what's the first fruit you saw in his life? Boldness. Peter's the guy who denied the Lord. Now he's standing up preaching and 3,000 come to Christ. Boldness, the power to be witnesses, the power to stand, the conviction of the Spirit, the life of the Spirit in our lives. All those things are available. I'm going to close with these thoughts. What do you need to do to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? We'll be talking about this in ensuing weeks. One, you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The gift of the Holy Spirit. You need to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Repent of your sins. Number two, ask Him to forgive you of every known sin that you've got. If some things have haunted you all your life and you just can't get free and you need to talk about it with somebody, I'll be here to help and pray with you. Be honored to do that. Thirdly, you need to repent from and renounce, I put it away and do away with any occult activity. The Holy Spirit is a clean spirit and He will come into a cleanly prepared vessel. So the Holy Spirit's not going to go in there and roll around with a whole bunch of mixtured stuff. He wants clean people who have said, I put away all the other stuff. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you want God in this way, if you want the Holy Spirit, you have to renounce all the occult stuff and witchcraft and all sorts of anything that is not central in Jesus Christ, that centers upon Him as the Son of the living God. Four, ask Him to baptize you. It can happen supernaturally, just like it did in Acts 10. It can happen in water baptism. It can also happen through the laying on of hands. And number five, you got to step out in faith and trust Him. What a wonderful, wonderful privilege it is to walk with God. He has so much more for us than we realize. Your life will change if you don't have the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He will empower you. If you do have the baptism in the Spirit with the gift of speaking in tongues, rejoice in that gift. Let me encourage you. Do what we're doing with the Bible. Dust off the gift. Use it every day. Speak in your prayer language every day and let it grow and let the Spirit of God flow through you like a fresh river. He's going to speak to you and be with you. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand. Let's go back to the key of F, Angela, please. If you're not saved this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus, come on up afterwards. I'll pray with you. And I know there's others in the room who'd be honored to pray with you as well. And if you need healing in your body, we believe the Scripture talks about healing and releases that healing to flow. It's part of the gifting of the Spirit of God. If you want to receive the gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the gift of speaking in tongues, let someone pray for you. Let us pray for you this morning and we'll pray with you that you receive and have a fresh movement of the Spirit of God in your life. Isn't He good? It's been good to be in church with you this morning. Have a fantastic week.